from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. The University of Indonesia, one of the world's top 100 universities. Indonesia seeking to enhance promotion of Asian Games. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalot Pane. The University of Indonesia is ranked 292 in the world along with two other universities of National Yangming University in Taipei and Beijing Normal University in the latest Quek Quarterly Simon's QS ranking of world universities for 2018-2019. University of Indonesia Rector Professor Muhammad Anis said on Thursday that from year to year, University of Indonesia is able to compete with the best universities in the world. The ranking proves that University of Indonesia has been recognized by the world and is able to hold its own with other universities in the Asia-Pacific and Europe. The QS World University Ranking assesses 1,233 universities in 151 countries worldwide. The result was published recently on its website. University of Indonesia succeeded in maintaining its position as the best university in Indonesia for 7 consecutive years. Indonesia is seeking to enhance promotion of Asian Games 2018 scheduled in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra from August 18 to September 2. President Joko Widodo said that the promotion of the Asian biggest sporting event still had yet to be intensified, as he showed Asian Games fever had not yet set in while the event draws closer. He also said the fever should have set in among members of the community by now, but it is now still only warm, not hot, let alone a fever. President Joko Widodo had invited artists, musicians, athletes to the State Palace to ask them to seek their involvement in the promotion efforts for the event. He underlined the importance of the event for the country, saying that a total of 49 countries will participate in the Asian Games, which will soon begin. With regard to the promotion efforts, President Joko Widodo, during a visit to the district of Karawang, West Java, recently, took an opportunity to promote the Asian Games by distributing T-shirts written "Let's make Asian Games 2018 a success" to people after meeting with local Islamic clerics and figures at the Ashidik III Islamic Boarding School in Cilamaya, Wetan. Terrorism acts have been worrying and fearful for people in general. Thus, the government of Indonesia must be able to overcome the root of the problem of the terrorism deadly acts. This was affirmed by terrorism observer Nur Huda to RRI World Service via telephone on Thursday afternoon. He said that the handling of terrorism is not easy, so it needs to involve related elements and institutions. The country must not be alone in handling the terrorism. It must involve civilians, especially religious big organizations such as Nahdlatul Ulama or Muhammadiyah and other certain institutions that can have ownership and sense of belonging to the issue. Nur Huda also expected the Indonesian government to be more creative in finding out new ways in overcoming terrorism. Besides, the soft approach can be more effective by prioritizing narration that invites people not to harm themselves or others. Homecoming culture that always been done by Indonesian people to celebrate the Idul Fitr triggers Indonesian Tourism Ministry to stabilize the number of Indonesian tourists. Since the beginning of Ramadan, the ministry has launched several programs. One of them is Pesona Mudik 2018. This was stated by Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya at his welcoming speech of Pesona Mudik 2018 launched at Jimbaran Ayana Mid Plaza in Jakarta on Wednesday.
Ketika Ramadan terjadi, itu low season di Indonesia.
When Ramadan comes, low season happens in Indonesia. Domestic tourists that usually recorded 20 million drops drastically to only 10 million people. But at the end of Ramadan and Lebaran, the number of business movement records 20 million. So the total of domestic tourists on average of 20 million, especially for Ramadan and Lebaran, increased to 30 million. So Pesona Mudik 2018 will accompany Genpi to inform things that you want to know most about a region, such as one of the top 10 culinaries in each city and top 10 destinations. When Lebaran comes, where you want to go, we will inform. The third one is top 10 events in each city. Minister Arif Yahya added that the decreasing number of foreign tourists visit, reaching as many as 50%, will be overcome with interesting programs launched by the Tourism Ministry. The Hot Deal program for foreign tourists who wants to visit Indonesia during Ramadan and Lebaran has been launched. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Committee of Indonesian Citizens Arms, or JAKAT, in Egypt has utilized 17 original associations in Egypt to facilitate the collection of arms. Coordinator of Arms Committee for Indonesian Citizens in Egypt, Samsu Alam Darius, to Radio Republic of Indonesia, said in Cairo on Thursday that the collection of arms for Indonesian citizens in Egypt, conducted by a committee, consists of Indonesian embassy staffs, wakaf and charity board, student welfare, and Indonesian Student Association in Egypt. Samsu also said that in Egypt, the amount of arms is 3 kilograms of rice, or worth with 30 Egyptian pounds, and for forfeit of 45 Egyptian pounds. Indonesian citizens who pay zakat are expatriates, Indonesian business people, large families of Indonesian diplomats, and some students.
Dan alhamdulillah dalam update saat ini.
Alhamdulillah, according the current update, we have collected zakat fitrah and zakat mal. If converted to rupiah, there are about 30 million rupiah. We expect to achieve like last year's amount, reaching about 100 to 150 million rupiah. According to Samsu, the collected arms will be distributed to the mustahik, or the person who is eligible to receive the arms. For the recipients, the committee has prioritized the Indonesian citizens, such as students and Indonesian migrant workers, especially who face protection problem in Egypt. Until now, the arms that distributed to the committee still continue to flow, not only from Indonesian citizens, but also from foreigners, such as from Brunei Darussalam, also partially distribute their arms to the Committee of Indonesia in Cairo. The distribution of the arms will be closed on Sunday, June 12. PT Indonesian Asan Aluminium Inalum, which has an aluminium smelter in North Sumatra, said that it plans to build a hydropower plant in Kayan, North Kalimantan. Chief Executive of the state-owned company, Budi Gunadi Sadikin, said in Jakarta on Tuesday, the power plant, with a capacity of 1,700 megawatts, is planned to supply power to an aluminium smelter to be built in that area. Inalum, which is the holding company for state-owned mining companies outside oil and gas, is given a share to build a 1,700 megawatt hydropower plant in Kayan in North Kalimantan. Budi also said that he has been asked to speed up the construction of a PLTA in North Kalimantan. He said the power production from the hydropower plant, PLTA, would be channeled to an aluminium smelter to be built by Inalum in North Kalimantan. The smelter, with a capacity of 500,000 tons to 1 million tons a year, would be built in a new industrial estate in Tanah Kuning International Port and Industrial Estate. A total of 14 Suriname delegates came from various business backgrounds and professions to visit Kriya Banjarsari's home in Solo on Thursday. The delegation was led by a banker and former finance minister, Woni Bodo, and accompanied by Indonesian ambassador to Suriname, Dominikus Supratikto. Previously, the group also visited the furniture center in Kalijambe, Sragen. During the visit, a small discussion was held between a business delegate from Suriname and business people from Central Java. Ambassador Dominikus Supratikto said that in discussion, many aspects were discussed to establish cooperation such as agricultural sector or plantation, livestock, furniture, manufacturing, culinary, property and banking sector. Supratikto said cooperation focuses on the furniture sector because the potential and opportunity are very open to cooperate with. He also said that the furniture market is increasingly widespread in the future. This can be collaborated with the world market. Ambassador Dominikus Supratikto added that Suriname could be the entrance to the export of various commodities to countries in the Caribbean and South America. He hopes that the furniture from Indonesia, especially Solo, can penetrate Suriname. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today it's on Malaysia reopens probes on 1MDB scandal. One of the factors that caused the Pakatan Harapan Party victory in the Malaysian election a month ago was a massive corruption scandal in the previous administration that allegedly involved former Prime Minister Najib Tun Razak. The scandal has actually been investigated by Malaysian authorities, but is just run aground. Malaysian people who may have been disgusted by the Najib regime in the last election then decided to cast their votes for the coalition party which had been the opposition in Malaysia. Driven by Anwar Ibrahim, this coalition is supported by a charismatic figure of former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. The opposition's victory restored Mahathir Mohamad, who is 92 years old, to the prime minister's seat. The agenda of this new government at least consists of 2 points, namely to crack down corruption scandal cases in the previous regime and reduce Malaysia's debt. During the Najib Tun Razak government period, Malaysia's debt was said to be no more than 700 billion ringgit. However, Malaysian Finance Minister under Mahathir Lim Guang Eng claimed Malaysia's debt is more than 1,000 trillion ringgit per December 2017. The debt is equal to more than 80% of Malaysia GDP. To reduce the debt burden, Mahathir then halted the rapid train project linking Kuala Lumpur with Singapore. In addition, Mahathir decided to cut the salaries of his ministers and called for fundraising debt payments. To facilitate his move, Mahathir also directly put a travel ban on Najib Tun Razak. The Malaysian Anti-Corruption Agency MACC then reopened the case of 1MDB, a Malaysian state-owned investment corporation established by Najib, including conducting an examination on the former prime minister in a search at Najib's residence. They found 114 million ringgit in cash claimed to be Najib's party fund. A panel reviewing 1MDB corruption documents found evidence that 42 million ringgit funds had flowed into Najib's account. To solve the case, Mahathir dismissed Attorney General Mohamed Apandi Ali, who once freed Najib from 1MDB corruption allegation. Mahathir then proposed Tommy Thomas, a non-Muslim Indian ethnic lawyer, to become Attorney General. Tommy's job is to solve the 1MDB case. The aftermath of this problem also happened to the governor of Bank Negara Malaysia, Mohamed Ibrahim, who then submitted his resignation. Ibrahim allegedly used the proceeds from the sale of state land amounting to 2 billion ringgit to pay the 1MDB obligation. Hopefully, this 1MDB case can be immediately resolved and the guilty parties receive sanction. In addition, Malaysia should also be able to reduce the debt created by mismanagement of the past administration. For Indonesia, a healthy Malaysian economy is very important. Malaysia is a fellow ASEAN member whose stability affects other member states, especially nearest neighbors such as Indonesia. Currently, for example, Malaysia is the place to earn a living for more than 2.5 million Indonesian migrant workers. Certainly, the economic problems in Malaysia will directly affect the livelihood of Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia. That was commentary today on Malaysia's reopened probe on 1MDB scandals. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event on June the 8th, 1929. President Soeharto was born. Soeharto was born at Kemusu Argomulya village, Bantul Regency, Yogyakarta on June the 8th, 1929. He was an army officer and political leader and president of Indonesia from 1967 to 1998. His 3 decades of uninterrupted rule gave Indonesia much-needed political stability and sustained economic growth, but his authoritarian regime finally fell victim to an economic downturn and its own internal corruption. He aspired from his youth to a career in the military, but his authoritarian regime finally fell victim to an economic downturn and its own internal corruption. After graduating from high school and working briefly as a bank clerk, he joined the Dutch colonial army and then, after the Japanese conquest in 1942, switched to a Japanese-sponsored home defense corps, receiving training as an officer. With Japan's surrender in 1945, he fought in the guerrilla forces seeking independence from the Dutch. By the time Indonesia became a republic in 1950, Soeharto had distinguished himself as a battalion commander in Central Java and achieved the rank of lieutenant colonel. Over the next 15 years, he rose steadily through the ranks of the Indonesian army, becoming a colonel in 1957, a brigadier general in 1960, and a major general in 1962. In addition, despite the controversy, it also holds the title of the father of Indonesia's development because during 32 years, his reign successfully built infrastructure in Indonesia. On June the 8th, 1968, James Earl Ray was arrested for allegedly killing Martin Luther King Jr. James Earl Ray is an Irish United States descendant criminal who was indicted guilty of murder of Martin Luther King Jr. on April 4, 1968, 5 years after his famous speech, I Have a Dream, in 1963. James Earl Ray was sentenced to 99 years in prison over the incident. Ray struggled to reopen the case until his death and supported by one the surviving son of King, Dexter Scott King. Ray died in the prison's hospital at 70 years old. During the trial, Ray did not admit of killing Martin Luther King, but the weapon to kill was the same as his own weapon. And we end today's segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on June 8, 1992, was decided as the World Oceans Day. The World Oceans Day takes place every 8th of June. It has been celebrated unofficially since its original proposal in 1992 by Canada's International Centre for Ocean Development, ICOD, and the Ocean Institute of Canada, OIC, at the Earth Summit UN Conference on Environment and Development, UNCED, in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. At the first World Oceans Day in 1992, the objectives were to move the oceans from the sidelines to the center of the intergovernmental and NGO discussions and policy, and to strengthen the voice of ocean and coastal constituencies worldwide. With the commemoration of the World's Ocean Day, it is expected to change the human perspective toward the ocean. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Welcome back to the segment of My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about the World Bank is optimistic Indonesian economy to grow 5.2%. Amid the global economic turmoil, the World Bank projected 5.2% economic growth in Indonesia in 2018. This is based on the economic growth on the first quarter, which reached 5.1% as the World Bank report on June edition, as well as the encouragement of increasing investment. The outlook for Indonesia's economy continues to be positive this year, with gross domestic product GDP growth projected at 5.2% by 2018 due to stronger domestic demand. As stated by the World Bank Director for Indonesia and Timor-Leste, Rodrigo Chavez, in his presentation at Indonesia Stock Exchange Building, Jakarta on Wednesday, as released by Kompas. Chavez explained that high global commodity prices caused the level of investment in Indonesia to increase. The main investment boost in machinery, equipment, and vehicles resulted the fastest capital growth in more than 5 years period. Furthermore, Chavez assessed that although the outlook for Indonesia's economy is still positive, there are still any risks. The risk on Indonesia's economic growth are mainly from the turmoil in global financial markets, as well as the disruption of international trade uncertainty. In facing this situation, Indonesia is to keep strengthening macroeconomic fundamentals as a buffer against the impact of global dynamics. Indonesia's strong economic fundamentals can be seen in an effort to keep under control inflation levels and debt levels that are only half of the legal threshold. Rodrigo Chavez also said, in the future, the Indonesian development will depend on important structural policy, such as effort to prepare the right skills for the future of the community. Based on data of the Central Bureau of Statistics, the economic growth in the first quarter of 2018 was 5.06%, the gross fixed capital formation component or investment has significant growth. On the first quarter of 2017, year-on-year, only 4.77%. Gross fixed capital of this year grew 7.8%. 95%. Listener, that was My Indonesia for today's segment.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. The University of Indonesia is ranked 292 in the world along with two other universities, the National Yangmin University in Taipei and Beijing Normal University, in the latest Quark Corelli Simons QS ranking of world universities for 2018-2019. Indonesia is seeking to enhance promotion of Asian Games 2018 scheduled in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra, from August 18 to September. President Joko Widodo said that the promotion of the Asian biggest sporting event still had yet to be intensified, as he saw Asian Games fever had not yet set in while the event draws closer. Terrorism acts have been worrying and fearful for people in general. Thus, the government of Indonesia must be able to overcome the root of the problem of terrorism deadly. It was stated by Terrorism Observer Nur Huda to RRI World Service. Homecoming culture that always been done by Indonesian people to celebrate Idul Fitri triggers Indonesian Tourism Ministry to stabilize the number of Indonesian tourists. Since the beginning of Ramadan, the ministry has launched several programs. One of them is Pesona Mudik 2018. The Committee of Indonesian Citizens Arms in Egypt has utilized 17 regional associations in Egypt to facilitate the collection of arms. Coordinator of Arms Committee for Indonesian Citizens in Egypt, Samsu Alam Darius, told Radio Republik Indonesia in Cairo that the collection of arms for Indonesian citizens in Egypt conducted by a committee consists of Indonesian embassy staffs, wakaf and charity board. PT Indonesia Asahan Aluminium, which has an aluminium smelter in North Sumatra, said that it plans to build a hydropower plant in Kayan, North Sumatra. Chief Executive of the state-owned company, Budi Gunadi Sadikin, said in Jakarta that the power plant, with a capacity of 1,700 megawatts, is planned to supply power to an aluminium smelter to be built in the area. A total of 14 Suriname delegates came from various business backgrounds and professions to visit Kriya Banjarsari home in Solo on Tuesday. The delegation was led by a banker and former finance minister, Wani Budu, and accompanied by Indonesian ambassador to Suriname, Dominikus Supratikto. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOR. Today's sounds.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Kanji Rumbi Porridge, a typical Aceh culinary for fast breaking. Stay tuned. Porridge is a type of food cooked until the material becomes very soft. In addition to rice basic material, the porridge can also be made of sticky rice or green beans. These foods can be easily found everywhere. Because of its soft texture, the porridge can also be consumed by toddlers and the elderly. Each region from Aceh to Papua has a special type of porridge. The Chinese traders brought the culture to eat porridge when they made transactions in Indonesia. the eating habits of Chinese merchants and ship crews began to be emulated by Indonesian people until nowadays. Listener, in Indonesia, salty taste porridge has differences in each region. For example, ase porridge of Batavi, manggul porridge of Madura, tinutuan porridge of Manado, and kanjirumbi porridge of Aceh. Kanjirumbi is a typical porridge for fast breaking in Aceh that is usually served during Ramadan. The porridge is rich in nutrients with various sources of protein and vegetables that make it a special dish. Usually during Ramadan, great mosques preparing the porridge in large portion. The local people cook kanjirumbi porridge since long time ago. The porridge will be served when breaking the fast in the mosque. The porridge will be distributed to all residents for fast breaking at home and also for travelers. Listener, kanjirumbi porridge has a distinctive flavor because it is rich in spices. The main ingredients are rice, vegetables, and spices that have been ground. There are potatoes, carrots, turmeric, ginger, onion, coconut milk, pandan leaves, and lemongrass. For the people of Aceh, kanjirumbi porridge is not just an iftar meal, but also has a multi-savor as cold and gastric medicine. The seasonings such as ginger, lemongrass, and turmeric are a prescription since pastime. Cooking the porridge takes 2 to 3 hours in a stew pot, and the fire inside the pot should not go out. Therefore, the firewood should always be available. Listener, maintaining the tradition to cook kanjirumbi porridge is a mutual agreement of all villagers. The fund is collected by the people before Ramadan. This is also aimed to maintain friendship. Besides at Borawi Mosque, kanjirumbi porridge can be found at culinary center in Aceh during Ramadan. However, in normal days, it is very difficult to find the Aceh typical porridge. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic kanjirumbi porridge, a typical menu for breaking fast in Aceh. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. This edition explores the topic World Ocean Day, recognize 5 marine national parks. Stay tuned. South Ocean Day has been commemorated every June 8 since the first submission in 1992 by Canada at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This anniversary was then endorsed by the UN at the end of 2008. World Ocean Day is a memorial day to appreciate the world's ocean by celebrating the results provided by oceans, such as seafood and marine life for aquariums, pets, and it's time to appreciate the intrinsic value itself. The sea also provides shipping lanes for international trade. In addition to appreciating the world's ocean, World Ocean Day is also commemorated to raise awareness of the community to preserve the sea. For Indonesia as an archipelagic country that has a vast sea zone and rich in marine biodiversity, World Ocean Day becomes an important moment for the Indonesian nation. World Sea Day commemoration again awakens the Indonesian people about the importance of preserving the sea of Indonesia and inviting the community to participate actively. The Indonesian government has been trying to preserve the environment of Indonesia by making various conservation areas as national parks. Indonesia has many national parks and some of them include marine areas. Let's get to know the marine national parks in Indonesia. Before contributing actively in the efforts to conserve the sea, first, let's identify five Indonesian marine national parks in various regions in Indonesia. The first one is Bunaken National Park. This national park is located in North Sulawesi. The marine beauty of Bunaken National Park is no longer indisputable, considering it becomes the home of more than 300 species of coral reefs and various marine biotas. Because Bunaken National Park is located close to the center of the coral triangle, a coral reef triangle that becomes the center of marine biodiversity in the world, as well as the top priority of global marine conservation. Second park is Wakatobi National Park. This park, which is located in southeast Sulawesi, is a part of conservation of coral reefs and marine life, such as stingrays and whales. Wakatobi itself stands for the name of the four main islands in the area, namely Wangi Wangi, Kaledupa, Tomia, and Binongko. Third one is still on the island of Sulawesi, Togean Island National Park, which is located in central Sulawesi. The island and waters of Togean are protected. The island and waters of Togean are protected because they have a wealth of coral reefs and amazing marine life. In addition, the Togean Island become home to the Bajo tribe, one of the tribes in Indonesia whose life is very close to the sea. Therefore, this national park not only offers the experience of enjoying the beauty of nature, but also learning the richness of Indonesian culture. In addition to the island of Sulawesi, Java Island also has a marine national park. It is located not far from the capital of Jakarta, that is in Ujung Kulon, Banten. Besides covering the island and waters with diverse biological riches, Ujung Kulon is also home to endangered rhinoceros, the Japanese rhino. Krakatoa Volcano, which was famous for its massive eruption in the past, is included into the Ujung Kulon National Park. Finally, Komodo National Park is located in East Nusa Tenggara. This area gets the title of the national park because it has stunning sea beauty. This national park has become a favorite tourist destination for both domestic and foreign tourists. One of the attractions of Komodo National Park is the presence of endemic species of Indonesian endangered Komodo dragons. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni for today with the topic World Marine Day. Get to know 5 most beautiful marine national parks in Indonesia. We meet again in another occasion with another interesting topics. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Have a great day and sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern. In today's edition, we will present the songs of the people of Lampung. So stay tuned.
Dijaga asal gamna. Lampung Sai Wawai, Lampung Sai Ragam, Lampung Sai Gayo, Sang Bumi Wajurai, tertib reaman, patuh beriman, sejahtera bersih sehat rapi, reindah. Lampung Sai Wawai, Lampung Sai Ragam, Lampung Sai Gayo, Sang Bumi Wajurai, tertib reaman, patuh beriman, sejahtera bersih sehat rapi.
Listener, the title of this song is Tapis Berseri. It's actually the slogan of Bandar Lampung, the capital of Lampung province. The phrase of Tapis Berseri is short for orderly, safe, obedient, faithful, prosperous, and clean, healthy, wrapped neat, and beautiful. In accordance with the title of the song, Tapis Berseri tells that Bandar Lampung city is orderly, safe, obedient, faithful, prosperous, clean, neat, and beautiful. Composed by Samar Jaya, yes, the song is fast and cheerful. While the music is Malay music, which is marked by the game of musical instrument, accordion, tambourine, and serunai. Besides being a slogan, the name Tapis is also used for traditional cloth of Lampung people. Before continuing to feel another Lampung regional songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Anak Rantau, sung by J. Abang, composed by Samar Jaya S. This song tells the story of the struggle of a child who wanders to achieve the ideals. Sorry and joy have been passed with the prayers and blessing of parents. It's like the previous song, and this song is also accompanied with Malay music. Happy listening!
ada jamak sapanya bukodo bisa pahaga busadu nasib diri dilapar. Oh lawi tenis ko pandai sikiri riwayat saiku gigi kekalau lapang di dada karena jadi bahagia intui apa kiri doamu kekalau buai bahagia.
Just listen to the song entitled Anak Rantau, sung by J. Abang. To conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Sigar Lampung, sung by J. Abang. The song Sigar Lampung tells the story of Sigar. Sigar is a triangular gold-colored bridal crown of Lampung and usually has 9 or 7 branches or curves. This crown is then a symbol of Lampung province. In addition to telling about Sigar through the lyrics, the song also invites listeners to preserve the customs and traditions of the people of Lampung. Well, listener, thank you for your togetherness. Hopefully, today's songs enrich your insight about Indonesian song. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Then have a great day and always love Indonesia. Here is a song coming from J. Abang with Sigar Lampung.
Sang bumi dua jurai, pepadun risai batin, jadi sai di lamban. Sigeni lambang sai agung, mahkota kebanggaan ram. Lestari ko adat Lampung, guai anak kumpulan. Adat Lampung, buai anak umpuran. Thank you.
di lamban si gering lambang sai aku pakota kebanggaan kam lestari ko adat lapung duai anak umpungan.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.